Welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church podcast. We pray that this message will help you in your walk with Christ. The title of Dr. Dortch's sermon is The Best Laid Plans. The big idea is that the best laid plans are those that are committed to God.
As you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, one of the wisdom books in the Bible. And that's not just head knowledge, that's heart knowledge, and it's hand knowledge. The book of Proverbs, inspired by the Holy Spirit, teaches us how we might conduct our everyday experience in such a way that we are able to know the fullness of God's favor. And over the course of this fall, each Sunday, we're looking at truths in God's Word, certain truths that will sustain us in these most uncertain times. And today we're going to consider the truth of how when we align our lives and our ways and our will with God, we can be confident that the future that God has for us will be a most blessed one. So we're going to look at Proverbs, the 16th chapter, and hear God's word in this promise in the third verse of Proverbs 16, where the writer tells us to commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Have you ever heard someone utter the words, "I love it when a plan comes together"? What they're saying is that things have worked out for them in life. They are in a good place, a place that they hoped that they would be able to experience, and maybe they had even put some plans in place in order to secure their future. And it all came together just as they envisioned, and so they exclaim, "I love it. I love it whenever a plan comes together." But isn't it the case that more times than not, a plan does not come together for us? Fact of the matter is, there is very little in life that turns out according to plan. Very little, if anything, happens as we envision it happening. And so I have at times asked myself the question, when my plans have not worked out, where did I go wrong? What happened? Why is it the case that on so many occasions, nothing for me seems to work out according to plan? And I have discovered that most of us are people who plan our future with the positive, optimistic end of the spectrum in mind. We always anticipate that our plans will be plans that will work for what is in our best interest. We don't plan for pandemics. We don't plan for market plunges. We don't plan to enter a season in life where all of the standard practices that we have relied on day after day, month after month, year after year are now obsolete and everything has changed, not for the better. We keep thinking that things are going to go well, which is a theologically flawed premise, given the fact that we are fallen people who are existing in a fallen world, one in which, as people of faith, we believe that God is ever working to redeem, so that it just makes sense to recognize and confess that none of us is smart enough. I don't know what the future holds. None of us is adaptable enough. None of us is flexible enough to be able to position ourselves for an uncertain future. It is better for us instead to align our wills with the will of a God who, as we learned how to sing even as children, a God who has the whole world in his hands, a God who is sovereign, that is to say, a God who created everything and is providing, is sustaining everything. How much better is it for us, instead of trying to project the future and plan for the future, how much better for us to yield ourselves to the desires of a God whose plans will never be exasperated or frustrated. Such was the counsel of the writer of the book of Proverbs. You've read the Proverbs, that collection of pithy sayings that is attributed to Solomon, whom the scripture tells us was a wise king, not just intellectually speaking, but he was a king who understood how to make decisions that were in the best interest of the nation. And so these Proverbs are given to God's people to help them to understand how to navigate the twists and the turns of life, how to order our lives around God's purposes, believing, as the writer of Proverbs says in the first chapter, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. That's not a cowering fear. It's the recognition that God is so far superior to us. And instead of our trying to calculate and strategize and come up with plans that will put us in a good place in the days to come, it's better for us respectfully and humbly and fearfully, in the sense of reverence, to order our lives around God's purposes. And so, in this 16th chapter, the writer of Proverbs is introducing how God is involved in this creation. God is committed to his creation. God is active in everyday experience, so that the wisest thing to do is to make sure that in all that you're about, you are following these perfect purposes of God. And so in the 16th chapter, the third verse, the writer says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will be successful. Now I want you to notice the flow of that passage, because it is so very different from how most of us order our lives. The flow of the passage moves from deeds to thoughts, from actions to plans. That's not how we normally order our lives. Normally, it's the plan that comes first. It's the plan that precedes the deeds. We devise a plan and we work the plan. I mean, isn't that how we've been taught to make life come together? You come up with a plan and you work the plan. But that's not what the writer of Proverbs is saying. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will be successful. Do you see the flow? It's radically different. It's the writer of Proverbs reminding God's people that we must never get ahead of God. How many times have I found myself in a place where I have come to discover that the reason that life has not worked out as I had hoped it would work out or as I had envisioned it working out was that I left God. I missed God. God became an afterthought to me. How many times have churches come up with these elaborate plans? This happens to so many churches during seasons of strategic planning. We come together and we devise this wonderful plan, and then we ask God to bless the plan. Do you see what's wrong with that picture? We come up with a plan, and then we ask God to bless the plan instead of beginning with whatever God's plans for us may be and then aligning ourselves with those plans. You've done this in your life. You have come up with a strategy, a direction, a vision of how your personal future may unfold, how you would like to see it unfold, and then you ask God to come alongside you to bless what you have given so much time and energy to conceiving, and you wonder why things have not worked out for you. You got ahead of God. Here the writer of Proverbs is warning us never to do that. That's not how faith works. We don't find ourselves in a good place whenever we get ahead of God. Instead, we begin with God. We commit to the Lord. Whatever we do, God, I am following in your direction. And when we order our lives according to God's plans and God's purposes, that's when God's word tells us our plans will be successful. It will not work the other way around. So when we look at this teaching from Proverbs, commit to the Lord. Whatever you do, and your plans will be successful. The key word in that third verse is clearly the word commit, which in the Hebrew, which is the language of the Old Testament, offers us a very vivid and, I think, a most helpful word picture of what it means to order your life around God's purpose instead of asking God to bless your purpose, your agenda, your plan. The word image is of rolling something upon another person. The word commit in the Hebrew literally means to roll upon the Lord whatever you do. And then your plans will be successful. And the reason that, at least for me, that image is so very helpful is because I find myself at times in places where the demands and the expectations and the responsibilities are, to be honest, more than I can shoulder in my own power. And if I find myself trying to accomplish the task that I have to do by myself in my own power, I experience weariness and impatience and all kinds of things that are destructive to my spirit. I'm sure that you find that to be the case in your life. There are so many times when you find yourself facing challenges that are simply greater than your ability to deal with them. When we find ourselves in these seasons, such as many people are finding themselves in such places today, in those moments, if instead of trying to move forward by ourselves in our own power, dealing with all of these loads and burdens and responsibilities, as best we can if we roll them over to God. Suddenly the responsibilities become lighter, the burdens become manageable. The challenges become less intimidating because we are facing them not by ourselves. We are facing them in the power that God's presence makes possible. I began to think about this image of rolling and the image of a wheel, and I could not remember when was the wheel first invented. And so I began to do some research on that, and I came across an article in Smithsonian Magazine, which was titled Frontiers of Innovation, and they talked in that article about the invention of the wheel, which actually was an invention that came along much later than you would expect. You would think that one of the first things human beings would have done would have been to create a wheel to be able to help them bear burdens and shoulder loads and transport objects that were too heavy for them to move, but that's not the case. There were many other things that came before the wheel. It was actually in about the 5th century before Christ that historians discover human beings in ancient Greece having come across this new technology that even today we utilize on an everyday basis, an invention, an innovation that has literally revolutionized human experience. Think of how many times you employ the technology of a wheel. How did you get here today? I dare say that none of us walked to church this morning. We drove in an auto. The reason that Sharon's box could be made into a car, among other things, yeah, it has no engine, but it has no wheel. If it had wheels, perhaps someone could actually transport him or herself there. You understand what I'm saying. Imagine, I got to thinking about this, imagine the elation that came upon those first Greeks in the ancient 5th century world before Christ when they saw the benefits of this new technology. I don't have to shoulder these burdens. I don't have to carry these loads. I don't have to move these heavy objects in my own power. Here is a technology that allows me to roll these things away. Think of the people who are trying to manage the burdens of life in their own power today in this 21st century. Maybe some of you here this morning, maybe some of you have come to this place and you just feel so overwhelmed. You feel like your power is depleted because you have been straining under all of the loads that you have been called upon to carry. And by yourself, you know you just can't make it any farther in life. You would love to have some means of assistance that could enable you to deal with all of these burdens and these demands and these responsibilities. And what the writer of Proverbs is saying is if you will roll them upon God, imagine the joy that you would experience in your life if you allowed God to bear the load, the burdens that are too heavy for you to carry in your own power. Some of you today have made that discovery. You understand the joy of God's salvation, to trust God with the things that are impossible for you to shoulder. In fact, some of you have come to discover that the same God who rolled away the stone that sealed the tomb of Jesus when he was crucified, that same power is at work in your life to roll away burdens and demands and responsibilities and expectations, connecting you to a power that would enable you to be able to do so much more than you ever imagined. Commit, roll upon the Lord everything that you do, whatever you do, and it is at that point and that point alone that your plans will succeed. It's like the story of the little boy who had been given some tasks for his father, by his father, to accomplish, and he was doing pretty well with them until he had to move this heavy stone out of the way because the stone was not in the right place, and he was just straining, doing all that he could to move that boulder, it seemed to him. It was just so much more than he could manage. And his father saw him, and his father said to his son, "You having trouble with that? Are you using all your strength? Have you used every ounce of strength available to you?" "Yes," he said. "No," your father told him, "you haven't. You haven't exhausted every source of strength." And when the boy looked at his dad, he said, "What are you talking about? I'm doing the best that I can to move this stone, and I cannot move it. I'm using every ounce of strength that I have." His father said to him, "No, you aren't, because you have not asked me to help you. You have not asked me to help you." Hey, some of you are here this morning. You're doing your best to manage the burdens and the weights of the responsibility, all of the things that have been heaped upon you, trying to make your plans work, and it's just not coming together. And you're doing the best that you can. But have you asked God to help you? Until you do, you are not availing yourself of every resource at your disposal. The next time you find yourself in a place where nothing seems to be coming together, remember the proverb and the promise of your heavenly Father, and roll upon God whatever you do. And then get ready to watch God make your plan succeed, because you have aligned the desires of your heart with the desires of God's heart. And when God works in you and God works through you, then the future that you can anticipate is one that you'll absolutely love, because God and God alone is capable of making plans come together that bless us to the core of our being.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We pray that today's message brought you hope as we continue to love God and live with grace and generosity. Don't forget to check back here for more podcasts. And as always, go out and do the Lord's good work.